heart is reaching out to each of us to meet every need, touch every person. Shy or bold, you want to touch every person here. We already know, Lord, there are more with testimonies than came up and shared. Father, give them the heart of boldness to bring you glory. Speak to them enjoyment of what you've done for them, but let them know it's part of their ministry to speak it out to the body. Thank you, God, that you're at work in each one of us here. No one will be missed today. You will touch the head of every lamb. You will touch the head of every sheep. And you will bless them today. You will minister to them today. Father, I pray that each of us, being touched by you, would receive it. Receive it deep into our spirits. Let it bring the peace that you want to bring. Let it bring the work that you want to bring through Holy Spirit. We welcome you today, Holy Spirit. Be the one that actually teaches. Go into every heart here and speak to them, whether it comes from the front or not. You're released, Holy Spirit, to minister to each person, to draw them in, to let them know how loved they are. I thank you. I thank you for your work, Holy Spirit. I thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit, and your power to do mighty things. We give you the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. One word of the Lord can change everything. All you need is one word from Him this morning. Everything's different. Everything will be changed. Friday night when we were here, we had a training weekend for mission teams going to Mozambique and China this summer over this weekend. It's still ongoing. They're going to be meeting this afternoon for a little bit further, right? Further training. And so you saw some people stepping into ministry for probably one of the first times this morning. You know, we kind of feel that Pastor Mary Pat and I are not the only ministers here. That each person can be raised up. Each person can reach a place where they minister. If you've missed that, that's what's going on around here. You know, that's why people come up and grab the mic, and you might think, oh my gosh, what are they doing? I mean, they're not the pastors. What are they speaking out like a crazy woman? Especially a woman. What a world. But we do that on purpose because we want people built up. We want every person ministering to another person, to other people. If you haven't yet entered into that, that's a wide open door here. Well, I don't feel like my issues are solved yet. Do you know what? Every person that's up here ministering would say the same thing. And they've stepped forward into their destiny, into what God thinks of them, what they're going to be like in the future. They're stepping towards that. They're not just standing still. Let me say that again. They're stepping towards that, not standing still. You don't become a person that ministers to others unless you step forward into something that's way over your head. It's way over our heads what's happening here. We don't understand everything. We're still stepping into it. Some of those that were up here, you may not have seen up here before. They're stepping into the unknown and asking God to back them up. They're going to be going overseas. They better step into something. You don't just get over there and step into it. You start here. You don't become a missionary on the plane. You start here. And it's a lot harder here. If you step into it here and you're ministering to someone, you're praying over someone and you're going, this shouldn't be me. Why am I praying over this person? I don't even believe anything's going to happen because I'm the one praying for them. I didn't pray enough today. I didn't read my Bible enough this week. What the world am I doing being the one praying over them? But I am, and here I am, God. I don't know why you got me in this position. Why did Pastor Mary Pat come and pull me from the back and bring me up front to pray over this person? I don't know. I don't know. I will. And the Lord comes in and goes, peace. Let the storm end inside of you. You're not the one that's going to make a difference for them. You're just going to match up with me. You're going to match up with my heart. I'm the one that's going to make a difference. Makes it a lot easier to step in. It makes it a lot easier to get over our own insecurities. If we're looking at ourselves, we may never step forward to minister to another person. We have to look to him. We have to say, you're the one. You care about these people. You care about this person in front of me. You'll step into that. Then, when you're convinced he cares about them so much, he's even willing to use you, to use me. It's an awesome thing then when someone says, you know, I have a change. I have a change. And you've partnered with the power of God. Wow, I know I didn't do that. I was up there kind of arguing with God that I should even be praying. And they still had a change. Something different happened inside of them. Wow. He must care for them. He must really care for them. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So we had these words given to each person on the mission teams Friday night. Several were up here giving the words. And each person that was here was given a word from the Lord. Wow. Some of them sounded funny to the people giving them. Something about helicopters on top of people's heads and giraffes and things like this. And there were even some giggles among us as we heard them given. It's not that person trying to be unusual. The person that was given a word about a giraffe spoke later that they had something, a connection in their past that had to do with being a giraffe. Now, is that coincidence? Oh, well, gee, that's cute. That's awfully cute that that happened. Or is it really God moving among us? Is he wanting to speak to us so much, speak to your heart deeply, speak to my heart deeply? And we just haven't quieted enough to hear his voice. We have too many excuses going on. Well, I can't hear. I know I can't hear him. I really can't hear him because, you know, I'm not good enough to hear him, or I haven't really pressed into him enough to hear it. There's lots of people in the Bible that heard from God and it was a surprise. They weren't exactly pressing into God when they heard from him. Moses, on the back of a desert, 40 years out of his destiny because he thought one event in his life put him on the never-to-be-used-again shelf. It wasn't true. So God got his attention in special ways. Probably was talking to him all those 40 years, trying to get his attention. Moses, that's not you, God, because you wouldn't talk to me because of what I did, because who I am. I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer. I have a past, God. That can't be you. So what does the loving Heavenly Father do? A burning bush that doesn't burn up. It just keeps burning. That'll get your attention. Out in the desert. Nobody had a magnifying glass and started a little fire out there in the desert, you know, on a bush. Moses had to pay attention to it. It caught his attention. He came close to it. And the Father said, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. We're going to meet together, whether you want to or not, because you've noticed the burning bush. Our Father has a burning bush for each of you. He wants to meet with you. He wants you to encounter Him. He wants you to come to Him. Some of you haven't been listening for years, making excuses for years. He still loves you. And guess what? So do I. I don't care how many years it's been. It's the joy to introduce that the Father cares that much. He doesn't put you on the never-to-be-used-again shelf. He's ready to use you at any time. He's ready to turn your life around, turn you upside down. And one word can change everything. So Friday night, those words were given out. You could see peace enter the room. You could see peace enter their hearts as they heard a word from the Lord. Well, I'm not sure that that's done today. You know, the Bible, that's it. If they didn't give a word out of the Bible, then, oh man, are we really there? There were words being given up here this morning over people's lives. And there's change. There's change. God is ready to speak through those of us that are willing to open our mouths. First mission trip I ever took, we were so engaged in training the team. We got to the first site where we were supposed to do a drama and share the gospel, and I realized I hadn't prepared. Prepared? Like 7 pages of notes anytime I ever spoke. And I wasn't prepared to give the gospel. Some foreign people. I worked on the drama to make sure it was the best I could make it. Worked on getting the team to the site. Got the site all set up. The group we were with, they made us draw a rectangular box at the site to make sure that people had enough room for the drama. So I was a detail person. Boy, I made sure that site was drawn. Made sure everybody had their makeup on. They were in their groups before they came out for drama, in their pods, and they were praying in those pods. Pray over drama, pod. They were there. I made sure of it. And I was in the drama. Believe it or not, I had my gray top on and my black pants. I was ready to do my moves, robot moves. I had practiced. But then I was supposed to speak out the gospel. I didn't prepare. No notes. Oh, forgot about this part. I opened up my mouth. Wow. A wonderful presentation of the gospel that I hadn't worked on. People came forward to receive Jesus. And I'm like, I want to do this the rest of my life. This is awesome. I didn't prepare, and Holy Spirit spoke through me. And people's lives were changed. It convinced me of something. When I'm weak, He's strong, and He's so ready to work through me or anyone else. He's so ready. I don't think I've ever prepared a gospel presentation since. My life is that presentation. What He's done in me is that presentation. I can speak about it in season, out of season, as the Bible says. Do I prepare other things? Sure. But it's mainly to speak to me. I have so many scriptures this morning, I know I'm not going to be able to share with you unless we have another 6-hour time like we did one Sunday. Don't worry about that. If it comes, you'll really enjoy it.
So these words were given out Friday night. People received them into their spirit. Some, you know, are weary when they come for a training weekend. They think, how can I go overseas? I'm tired right now, and I got to go through training this weekend. But, you know, you get a word of the Lord, and those same people are dancing around all weekend. They have more energy than you can imagine. Why? It's the word of the Lord. It's Him speaking to us that gives us a new kind of strength we can't even imagine. His word to us, His encounter, our encounter with Him, our encounter with His presence brings such a peace and joy in our life that we're free. If most of your life is striving, why give that away to somebody else? You know, those that don't know Jesus have no rest at all. They have no rest. That's why it's their biggest goal is to be on vacation. That's their biggest goal. I'm planning on going to Florida, yeah, and then I'm going to go to Hawaii, and I plan to go to Fiji. Because the last time I was in Florida, it wasn't that great. It wasn't that great of a vacation. I don't know. So I thought I'd go to Hawaii and Fiji after going to Florida. I'm going to try Florida one more time. Then I'm going to go to Hawaii and Fiji. Because I know there's rest out there somewhere. I know inside of me, all this turmoil inside of me, there's got to be some rest out there somewhere. I see it on the advertisements. You get into a car. A brand new car on the advertisement. Oh, man. That's rest. Peace. You can't even hear anything on the outside of the car. There could be construction going on. There could be accidents all over your car. But inside your car, no way. You are in peace, man. At least the advertisement says so. Advertisements for vacations. Oh, come here, come here. This is where the fun is. Look, down the big slide into the water or underneath the water. Peace, joy. You and your spouse are finally going to get along on vacation underwater with fish. And the world goes, yeah, that's where the peace is. I'm going. You ever talk to any of those people after they get back from their vacation? How was it? Oh, man, I thought I was going to get some rest, and this happened, and that happened, and the taxi driver took us the wrong direction for 3 hours, and this problem, and the cruise ship sunk right under me. It was supposed to be peace. I was in a lifeboat. Those vacations don't turn out quite like they think. Because there's only one rest that any of us are looking for. And it's in Jesus. But how do we get there? Many of us know that. Jesus is our Sabbath. Sabbath is no longer a day. It's a person. You come to Him, and any day of the week, you can have a Sabbath rest. You can have peace. It's a person. It's not a day anymore. So when you hear all those people saying, you need to keep the Sabbath or God is mad at you. And they're raising up a day and they're saying, this is the day, you know, the sixth day or the seventh day, whichever one they decide on. That's the day. You've got to be there where God's people are. Then you'll be pleasing God. Really? I think it pleases God to be with Him and let Him work in your life every day. Every day, every moment that you live. If you're waiting for Sunday to suddenly please God, it's a little late. There's six other days in the week. You know what pleases God is to have Him as your Sabbath all the time. Have Him as your rest all the time. There are many Christians I know that are not restful at all. They never feel any rest. They're as worried as anybody else. They're as shook up as anybody else. And those commands in the scripture, they're kind of scary. Do not worry. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Do not fear. Whoa. How do I get away with that one? It says do not. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Whoa. And many other do nots. I think there was like 490 when I looked it up. And we always say, well, you know, it's about the do's, not the do nots. But there are some do nots in there. And some of them cover some really big areas like fear, worry, don't quench the Holy Spirit. How in the world do we accomplish that? I'm worried about every little thing. I fear so many things. How do we get rid of that? You were supposed to answer. Well, you know, Jesus. Yeah. But how do we get that accomplished? I would like to show you by a picture. I don't even know if it's going to work. But I figure a picture will stay with you longer than me, blah, 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 blah. Oh, Pastor Bill was funny. I've heard this before. Pastor Bill, you were funny Sunday. Great, what did I talk about? Oh, I don't know. You blah, 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 blah. He had a couple good zingers there, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. What did I share? Oh, blah, blah, blah. But that time that you had us all get in a circle around the church, and we hung on to hands with one another, and we were the family of God. We were in covenant with one another at least for 5 minutes. I remember that. I remember that you brought all those crazy Titanic things up here and threw them all over the stage. And the thing I remember from that was the screaming cries of people in the frozen waters and no one going to rescue them because they were afraid their lifeboats would be pulled under. I remember that for some reason. That picture. Is it any wonder that Jesus went around and spoke in pictures? All the time, pictures, pictures. Seeds and trees and water and bread all the time. It's because we remember pictures. That's my theory behind this. So if it doesn't work, that was the idea, was the picture. So if it doesn't work for you, come up with a different picture. I release you. If this one doesn't work for you, come up with your own. You're released to use your imagination. And I'm looking for Michael. If you could come up. And I know it's going to be hard for you. But it won't be. The reason is, if you could come over here centered. The reason is I needed someone tall. So it won't be hard. Okay, and if I could have you to come up. You're going to stand like menacing, kind of right here. Menacing, look menacing. Somehow. And maybe you three guys, if you could come up. You're going to look menacing also. Okay, and face out. Okay, kind of some of you here. Good, good, good. I know there's some that can, menacing girls. Let's see, could we have two of you come? They can do it. Menacing, menacing. And you're going to face out just like these guys. I hope this works. Okay, they're looking very menacing. Let's call this fear and worry. What do you want to be? Something negative. doubt, unbelief. See, you're helping me preach. Come on, come on.
It was sadness.
Loneliness, sadness. Okay. I'm giving you time to think. You know, okay. I started at that end. They took all the good ones? Let's start over. Fear, worry, unbelief, jealousy,
anger.
Okay, and obviously we could put a whole crowd of people up here. This is the strong tower. Proverbs 18:10, the strong tower of safety. You enter into the strong tower. And in that strong tower, you can step back into peace, joy. One of the big encouragements in going to Indonesia this year was we showed up in a few places and they were commenting on the joy that we felt and we had. We were busy trying to get a conference to even happen. Everything came against it. We were busy, 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 back and forth, discussing, talking, but at rest. Overall, at rest. And it was noticed. They didn't come up and say, you know, Pastor Bill, that was a great message you gave. That was tremendous. I remember everything about it. It just hit me. Well, a few did. Of course, I bought them Starbucks. But more, we're talking about the peace and the joy that was inside of us. This is where that is. And the strong tower is a person. Jesus. Okay, well, yeah, okay, nice picture. Okay, everybody go home. But there's something that I think we're missing. And that is rest is not standing still, as I mentioned earlier in the prayer. Rest is not just like, oh yeah, there's Jesus. Okay, got him in my back pocket. Occasionally I'll pull him out and when I'm really feeling bad, oh yeah, I still have Jesus. Good. Okay, put him back in the pocket. You have to, in order to reach the rest, in order to be at rest, you have to press into the rest. Because all these things are ready to spew. And they have spirits behind them, energizing them. Demons, Satan as the orchestrator. And they're standing between you and rest. Is it any wonder why you feel like you're striving? It's because you're trying to get to Jesus and you run into all this. Let's just say that we just changed him to circumstances. Well, you know, like I would follow Jesus. I would give him all that I am and all that I have. But look it. Circumstances are standing right in front of me. Man, how do I get through circumstances? I can't, you know. So, what do? I make a lot of excuses. You know, well, that happened to me, and this happened in my past, you know, and someone hurt me, and someone, you know, brought me down, and hey, shoot, I don't have this, I don't have that. Lack, 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 lack. I don't have enough money to be a Christian, a good Christian, because I can't give it to the church, and they always want money, 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 money. Excuse, 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 excuse. Now, none of you have that problem. I'm talking to somebody out there. But some kind of circumstances where you run into those circumstances and you go, I can't get to Jesus. I can't get to him. I can't get where the peace is. That's standing in my way. Or worry. Oh, no, no. Worry. Run right into worry. Were you worry?
Fear.
Fear. Oh, fear, worry. Oh, you were worried. Run into worry. Run into fear. I can't get to the tower. I can't get to the strong tower. There's too many giants between me and the strong tower. So many people just give up and they go, gee, I don't know how those all-star Christians are doing it. They look so joyful. They look so happy. They look so free. One guy said, "You are free, man," in Indonesia. This guy's an upper crust businessman. "You're so free. You're so free. You're enjoying what you're doing." And I said, "I am. This is the sweetest thing in life. To know I'm in the will of God and to be pressing into Him. I don't have it all figured out yet, and He still loves me. I don't do everything I'm supposed to do, and He still loves me. I'm pressing into it, though." It's because these things have to be lowered. Bow before the tower. How do I get them to do that? Well, first I have to realize they're not big enough to stop me from getting to Jesus. I'm going to press in, press past them, and get to Jesus. Because He's the strong tower. He's the one that brings the peace, the joy, the overcoming in life. I have a financial problem. I can run to worry and fear. Run to them and embrace them. But they don't help me. That's why He says, don't worry, don't fear. He can say it because He is willing, through Holy Spirit, to give us the ability to go right past them to Jesus. The strong tower. And in that tower, there's safety. So you face a situation. It's screaming at you. Worry, 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 fear. And you're going, "Well, I could. I'm good at it. I'm really good at fear and worry. I've practiced." But instead, I'm going to step back into my strong tower and let that peace envelop me. Let that joy overtake the fear, the worry, the loneliness, the other junk people up here. I'm going to step into the strong tower, and these guys must go. When He was talking about, I was starting to worry about the test and what's coming up, and oh my gosh, and I'm not there. Wait a minute. I declare I'm smart. I declare these tests must bow in the name of Jesus. You know what happens? Inside of Him, Holy Spirit goes, "Yeah! I can't wait to empower you, man. That's faith. I'm gonna really give you everything you need because that's faith." And suddenly He knows more than He ever could have known before that. That's called supernatural living. You can go with the natural. Well, let's see. I studied 4 hours. That usually gives me about a C minus D plus. So that's what I'm expecting. Now, if I did 6 hours, I might get the C solid. Natural thinking. It's no longer how we're going to live as Christians. I said it's no longer how we're going to live as Christians. The natural thinking. When Holy Spirit can come into a person by faith and even help them with something like studying. We've had people pass tests that shouldn't have passed tests. It's true. Now, did they cheat? No, because when they actually get out into their career, they are favored. They're anointed in their careers. They don't go the natural way and have to know every answer to give a person. They can say, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what I'm doing with this. Remember that test that you gave me the A on and I really didn't deserve it? That was the one that I'm supposed to know this stuff right now and I don't." And He goes, "That's no problem. Let me show you." how to work this out. And it probably doesn't have a lot to do with some kind of book work. It has to do with relationship. You come before the judge, you're a lawyer, and you hear from Holy Spirit, you're supposed to present this case this way, even though it goes against all the law books. Guess what? You better go Holy Spirit's way. He knows how to win every case. And the law books are very insufficient. They're man-made and they're natural. That's what faith is about, living in all those areas. To press through all of these entities that want to stop us from getting to the strong tower. You know, even a person coming to Jesus, they say, well, you know, I look at those other Christians, and they're not living the life for Jesus. So I don't want to come to him. My mom, my dad, my cousin Ralph, they say they're Christians, but they don't act like it. I treat people better than they do. And Holy Spirit comes in and grabs that person's heart at some point and redeems them with all those excuses. How did that happen? His Holy Spirit wasn't sitting there going, yeah, that's a pretty good one. Cousin Ralph, man, he's never done a thing right. He's kind of even grieving me. Holy Spirit has all faith. So he just goes for the heart. He doesn't care what the lifestyle looks like. He doesn't care what all the excuses are. He goes for their heart. And he achieves it. You've come to Christ. Don't just contend for yourself. Contend for your household. Because Holy Spirit made a beachhead with you. And he wants to take the entire hill. He wants to establish a beachhead where he can go farther into the family. He loves it. He's powerful. Much more powerful than anyone's excuses. And we need to trust that in our life. That he's very powerful to get by all of these entities that want to keep us from running to the strong tower. Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. In Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Don't be weary in well-doing. Some of you are tired. You're tired of the battle. You're tired of trying to figure this whole Jesus thing out. How does this work? How can these people be so free and enjoying life? And yes, they run into their days and their moments, but generally, man, they're happy. They're energized. They're free. How did they get there? And I'm not. And I've been around this group for a while. What's going on? You're not pressing into the strong and hit by one of these and quitting. Or you're just thinking, okay, somehow he's going to transport me to the strong tower. No, you have to walk there yourself. You have to take the steps yourself. You have to step in yourself. You have to step into the faith. You can't wait for someone to call you from here and say, oh, hello. By the way, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing so well. Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you come up for prayer? Well, I don't want to do that. People will think that I have a problem. Guess what? Who cares? It's a safe place. People that are here for the first or second or third time come up front. They trust the safety. They can feel it. It's a safe place. No one wants to run over them. No one wants to say, well, you're not good enough. Let me tell you, I'll show you how. See, we can't share Father's love and be going around condemning people. It doesn't work. Father's love embraces people. Embraces. Doesn't accept things that are against the Bible, against, you know, what will help them. We'll challenge those things, you bet. Well, I'm willing to come to Christ as long as I can do this, 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 this. You're not ready yet. You heard the call this morning. Give everything. Give your life. You know, the person at rest is the one that keeps giving over. It says in the Bible, repentance is refreshing. There's a place I read in the New Testament this week that Paul couldn't wait to get with some people because it would be refreshing to be with them. Are you refreshing to be with? Because you're free, because you're able to encourage others? Or are you kind of a stick in the mud? You're not really refreshing anybody. You're trying to figure out how to get refreshed yourself. You should be refreshing people. You should be so free and joyful and happy and facing every trial, every problem, every circumstance, every difficulty and saying, Jesus, I'm going to press into you because you handle them all. You can do it in me. I'm ready. I'm finally ready to let you have everything. To trust. One of the things with unbelief is mistrust. You don't trust the people that are leading your part of the show, so to speak. Well, I don't think they'd do that right. And I'm willing to tell somebody else. They don't quite do it right. Those leaders. That Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, they just think they're something. They think they've got all the answers. You meet with them, they always find something in you to challenge you, you know. So I don't meet with them. It's much easier that way. Then they can't challenge anything. Then they can't, you know. So here's the sheep that should be following Jesus. And, you know, we're trying to represent him. And we got sheep. Oh, let's go. We're going this way. They're running for the exits. Why is that? They don't trust. Why? Unbelief. You think they're real, you know, they're backing into the strong tower with peace? No, they're in turmoil on the inside. Their covenant needs a kicking. Because inside they're in turmoil. They're trying to find a corner of the church they can go that a leader won't find them. Where is that corner? Show me the corner. I know it's not up front. And I know it's not the back row. Because people have been called from the back row to the front. There's got to be a better corner. I know. I'm going to get some Velcro on myself and stick myself under the pew. Can't readily see me under there. We set this thing up with Holy Spirit. Guess what? He doesn't want us just to preach from the front and never go anywhere else from the front. We come out and we touch and we go to place. We challenge. We have taught all these people in here. You're part of a conspiracy. We've taught each one of them. Chase down new people. Tackle them and ask them questions. Grab a hold of them before they go out the door and ask them about their life. Make sure no one escapes. So you wonder, the first few times you were here, you're like sitting there minding your own business. You wrote right across your forehead, I'm new. So people would leave you alone like every other church you've been to. They give you a bulletin at the door. They show you where the coffee is. They say, that's our sanctuary. That's what you wanted. But you came in and, you know, Troy's jumping on your back. And he's giving you a prophetic word while he's going, hoo! And you're going, what kind of nut house is this? A person can't even sit in peace. And then after a few weeks, It's the second wave. Pastor Mary Pat has smelled you in the congregation. She has not met you yet. Look out. Beware. Why are people doing that in here? Why? They think you're treasure. They think you're worth something to God. They're not just trying to say, well, you know, we're going to grab hold of you, so you stay here. Look, there's spaces in the pews we need to fill up. We've scared more people away than we have scared them in, okay? It was easy. All we had to do was have Andy come to the front. You bring Andy up to the front, you find out who's going to stay, who's going to leave. It's real easy. So some of you have stayed a while. Some of you are a little newer, but some of you have stayed a while. And then you find out they don't just talk church. They go to the streets. They keep talking about this Friday night thing where you have to go down there in a tent and you're trying to tackle people downtown. Then I walked by a bulletin board on the way to the restroom. They go overseas and tackle people. What kind of place is this? We really think you're treasure. We really think you're treasure to God. We're willing to challenge any of this stuff and a whole lot more in your life so you'll press into the strong tower. That's where the safety is. See, we could just say, you know, every day, every time we meet, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And everybody goes, worship Jesus. Okay, and everybody out the door. Whew, we got that done in an hour. Or take the risk that some of you are going to fall in love with him. Some of you are going to be falling in love with him. Do you know, this place would be packed out. We'd have to get a new building right now rather than 4 days from now like Pastor Mary Pat wants to do. Okay, but this place would be packed out right now if we just did the standard and we left you alone. It would be. I could work on my messages. I could do the 7 pages. And I think I could hone it pretty well to kind of, you know, speak to the mind, the natural. You know, every day is a Friday with Jesus. And slurp you into the kingdom kind of feel. You would feel like it's kingdom. But when you face that major trial, you wouldn't come to me. Because I'd be the answer man. I'd know everything about God. And you'd be like, I'd have to make an appointment 6 weeks ahead even to talk to him. Because there's 4,000 people in the church. I don't think he's probably too busy for me. And you would never come to me. You'd go somewhere else. What good is that? But when you know I'm on the same journey you are, Pastor Mary Pat's on the same journey you are, we have real lives, and Jesus is taken over. And he's meeting every situation with his presence, with his power. That's a much different matter. You can identify the battle. You can identify trying to press in through these entities to get to the tower of Jesus. Okay, thank you so much. You've all done a great job. Especially standing up here a while. I knew you would want that. We'll come up, have them come up afterwards. And
Pastor Bill, I'm new here, and I'm blessed to be here. I'm not scared away.
So. Woo! Awesome!
Sweet stuff. We love that. Well, if you are in that mind frame, you're just as welcome as the person that comes in and says, you know, hey, this is what I want. This is what I've been waiting for. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 40 that says, mount up with wings like eagles. Let's take a look. Quickly. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. So it starts with him. Rest starts with the one that never gets weary or tired. He's not tired of you. He's not tired of being with you, of hearing your cries, of hearing your wails, of hearing your problems. He can't wait until you approach him. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Gives strength. You can't work your way to strength. You can't please God, you know, in your thinking. In order to get strength, he will give it to you. He loves to give. He's the most generous person there is. And to him who lacks might, he increases power, strength, power. I'm tired of this battle. He'll give it to you. Strength, power. You can press past your worries, your fears, to the strong tower, and he'll give you the strength and power to do it. You don't have to muster it up yourself. You don't even have to muster up the faith. Ask him for that. He gave you the faith to receive him as Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you've come to know him. He gives you the faith for that as a gift. Well, I don't have enough faith. I had a principal tell me once, I don't have enough faith. I'm not like you. I don't have enough faith to come to God. I said, that's okay. He gives it to you as a gift. Her excuse was ended. There is no excuse, because he'll even give you the faith. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Why does Isaiah mention youths? Well, you'd think they'd be strong and vibrant and full of life and ready to go do things, and they got all that physical strength. He says it's beyond physical strength. Aren't you glad? Do you know you can be totally spent physically and your spirit can carry you? Happens all the time when we're ministering to people. I need to get home to the easy chair in front of the soaking center. I need a ding-a-ring-a-ding-a-ding-ding. I've got a need. Okay. Who is this? I've got a need. Could you pray for me? I was thinking about easy chair and soaking center, actually. I start to pray out of faith. God, please, you know, the lion starts to roar inside of me, the Lion of Judah, and oh man, I'm getting into it. The poor person, they only wanted a 5-minute prayer. They were willing to let me go to my easy chair and soaking center. and they got a half hour or 40 minutes. I couldn't stop. What happened there? I entered into the strength and power of Holy Spirit. It was way beyond my physical strength. It energized me so much supernaturally that the natural had to bow. And suddenly, I'm filled, ready to flow. And the person might say, you know, now I'm tired because I've flowed so much. He's willing to do that with you. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. You need new strength for the battles you're facing? Did you feel new strength during worship? Yeah, that's when I feel it. Worship after the music stops. New strength. Call on your strong tower. Jesus, I'm weak. Admit it. Why not? We are. None of us can stand and say, I'm strong. Unless we say, in the Lord. So let's just admit it. Wow. The new strength flows. The new power flows. Because he doesn't get weary or tired with us. And he's just ready to turn on the flow at any moment so that you're energized. You're filled up. You're at a greater place, a higher plane. You've backed into the tower. You're in peace. You're in joy. While the whole battle is swarming on the outside of that strong tower, you've backed into the arms of Jesus. He's wrapped himself around you. Man, you start looking at those. You know, you can climb to the top of the high tower and look. The battle looks different from the height of the tall tower. There's a passage in Judges where this woman was in the city was being attacked, so they went inside this strong tower and closed the door. A woman went to the top of the strong tower. The main leader was ready to burn the tower down, and it worked at other times. But the lady happened to take a millstone up there. And she dropped it on the guy's head. Crushed it. Pretty simple operation. Since the leader was crushed, the army drew away from the strong tower. You have that right. Because of Jesus. To crush the head of the enemy. All of these things and more that were up here tormenting you can be crushed by the strategy of the Lord, by the power of the Lord working within you. You can't be stopped by these things so that you never reach the strong tower where the peace is, where the safety, where the joy, where the freedom is. That's all the supernatural Christian does, is they press in. Okay, that's the only secret. If you're looking for, you know, a book about 27 secrets to getting close to Jesus, there's only one that it boils down to, and that is you need to press in to his presence. When he says, be still and know that I am God, he's not just saying, okay, just be still. What he means is quiet your heart enough to hear me. And I'll help you in any situation. One word of the Lord changes everything. If you're not still, you're not going to hear it. I'm worried, so I'm going to process and I'm going to let it come out. Be still. Listen for the word of the Lord. Oh, wow, saves a lot of time. All that worrying, Matthew 6. Worrying doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't get you a single day. Doesn't get you a single cubit. Doesn't get you anything. Pressing in to the Lord, stepping back into your strong tower, suddenly the attacks don't even get in, and you get up to the top of the tower. You look down at the battle, it looks a whole lot different from the top of the tower. Man, those arrows don't even reach up here. and I've got a millstone. Take this, enemy. Crushed. And then you're wondering why people are dancing like they're on top of a tower. They are. They're free. All their fear has left because they had the strategy of the Lord to win the battle. So, what do you need to do? Mount up with wings like eagles. Some of you haven't flown. You've been grounded. It's time to fly. It's time to fly with freedom. What are you talking about, man? Well, there's quite a few basic things that need to happen in your life in order for this to continually work. Oh, you can be possibly inspired by worship or what happened up front today with people getting touched, or by something that's said today the Holy Spirit brings to your heart. But what works continually? It's to mount up with wings like eagles with Him, soar with Him, go with Him, press into Him. When you're not here, and it's a little easier to press in, quiet your heart enough to say, speak to me. I'm getting from your word, but I need a word from you, Holy Spirit, that will change this whole situation. My husband's not a believer. My wife's not a believer. My family is against me for being a believer. What do I do, Holy Spirit? You can read the word. You'll get a lot of teaching, but Holy Spirit's going to energize the strategy out of those scriptures to make it work. You can hear from Him. The Rhema word isn't just so, oh my gosh, now I know I'm supposed to go to El Paso, Texas. I heard from the Lord. It's supposed to be like a daily thing, moment by moment. Holy Spirit, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this? How do I deal with this? I'm on my way to meetings, and I've told you this before. I say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know what they're going to come up with. They say they got a problem. They say they want prayer. You come in and give me what they need. Let me speak something of life to them. Wow, that's a different matter. I used to give out the scriptures right and left, man. Oh, here's your 15 on this and your 12 on that. That ought to solve your problem. And I could go out the door. Now I say, Holy Spirit, what would you say to them? What scripture is going to turn it around for them? What's going to bring the breakthrough? Ooh, that's sweet stuff. Because He does it. He actually gives me stuff to give out that's life. And He wants to do that with each one of us. He doesn't want your life to be all about problems. Physical difficulties. Emotional unrest. He wants your life to be free so you can free somebody else up. Well, I care about people. I let somebody borrow my wrench the other day, and they kept it, and I didn't call them up. There's something a little better than that. Helping people spiritually is difficult labor. It's a amazingly difficult labor field, but you can walk through it with freedom, with joy in all those difficulties. If you rise up with wings like eagles, He's willing to give it to you, so you just receive it. But I'm too fearful to step into that. You're being stopped before you get to the place of safety. You have to attack that fear. Speak to that fear. Fear, you're not going to stand in my way to get to this anymore. I'm not going to allow it. You have to bow in the name of Jesus. Well, that sounds nutsy to be talking to fear. Fear is substance in the spirit. It will stand between you and the strong tower. Well, I know Jesus. Okay. But I'm still fearful. Okay. You're stuck. You're stuck unless that fear gets out of the way. You know Jesus to a degree, It's supposed to be increasing all the time. All the time. Yes, Lord. So Proverbs says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Mike mentioned this morning in worship, Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing, no good thing, no good thing. That sounds like a person that's inside the strong tower, looking out at the battle and going, I've won. I've won in Jesus. You know, there's an ultimate rest as well. When we die, or when Jesus comes back, we're going to be in heaven in an eternal rest. You know, there's no war there anymore. There was one, but the enemy got expelled from the place. And it was over worship. Satan wanted to be worshipped. He had to leave because he decided he wanted to be worshipped more than the Lord God. And a number of wacko angels thought he should deserve it too, and they were expelled. There's no more warfare in heaven. It's all been taken care of. All the bad element has been disposed of. So there will be a rest there with no battle. The rest here can be in the midst of the battle. We say soak and go here. Soak meaning spend time in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God. Hear from him. Get dreams, visions, pictures, words from the Bible, words from his lips, new rhema word. And then go out and touch the world. Don't soak your life away because you want that river not to just stay right there. You want it to flow out. Graham Cook taught that to us this weekend by video. Don't be a lake, be a river. Well, you could soak all the time and get in the presence of God and, oh, yeah, I feel good and I got the heebie-jeebies. Woo, woo, awesome, 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 awesome. But then you're too afraid to go out? Doesn't work that way. You'll be miserable as a lake. You'll be excited, free, joyful as a river. This is a place that's willing to train you to be a river. Willing to train you in how to draw into the Lord. If you need that, if you desire that, it might be the place for you. Ask Holy Spirit, because I would rather have you ask Holy Spirit and know at the beginning whether to be connected here or not and stay connected than have you disconnect at some place because you connected yourself. I want Holy Spirit to connect you here, not me. I don't want to be the one that says, oh, you ought to, you know, da, 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 and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And then 6 months later, those people are a bunch of nutcakes. That's no good for either one of us because we believe in covenant here. Covenant, wow. That's big. You have to actually sign on, I'm going to do what Holy Spirit tells me to do, even through leadership. Ooh, that's scary. That takes trust. That takes a lot of trust. What if they ask you to come up and give a testimony, and you've never done that before? What's even more amazing is to trust them that they'll love you if you refuse. I'm not going up there. And you think you're going to get a call from the pastor during the week going, why didn't you come up? You made me look like an idiot. You won't get that call. Because there's been so many things I haven't done that Holy Spirit asked me to do, and he still loved me afterwards. That's why I'm still pressing in. If he had said, sorry, you're no good for us here in heaven, not going to use you anymore, I probably would have given up. But because he still loved me when I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that, and he was patient with me, I've fallen deeper in love and tried and done things I never thought I would do. He'll do the same with you. He's patient. He loves you. Your treasure. I keep telling you that because it's true. I say it because of him. He's made me feel like treasure. That's why I'm so free. But I don't like your message, Pastor Bill. I don't care. I'm free, you know. You can go ahead, give me a critique. It might help. It might not. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. You provide a strong tower, which is you. We're looking for answers. It's you. It's pressing through all these things that hold us up from reaching the strong tower of safety. Father, there are so many passages on rest. I wanted to go over. You know I did. But Lord, I just spoke from my heart. I pray a heart reaches a heart. I want so much for each person here to enter into your rest in the middle of the biggest turmoil, the biggest challenge in their life. Lord, you know I've worshiped you because of how you came in and rescued me out of the biggest challenge of my life. And then there came another challenge, and another challenge, and another challenge. And you rescued me. You rescued me. You put wings on me, and I flew. Lord, I backed into that tower of peace and joy, and you changed the circumstances. You changed people. You moved in situations. You took people out of the way because of me. You've shown your love over and over and over again to us, Lord. Help us celebrate that. Press through all of these things that come against us. Press through with joy, but with determination to reach the safety of the strong tower that's you. Help us not float. Help us not float unless it's right in the middle of your river. The river of your presence, the river of your grace, the river of power and strength that you want to bring to us. But Lord, if we need to fight upstream a little bit because we've been floating downstream in the enemy's flow, in our own selfish flow, in the world's flow, in the natural flow. Help us to trust you to swim upstream against anything that would come against us. And we'll reach you. We will reach your heart. We will have experiences and encounters with you. I thank you, Lord, for the visions, for the pictures, for the words, for your presence, for the peace that has come to me as I've grown still for just a short time and you come in. Lord, you called the disciples in the midst of ministering to come and rest with you. Come rest with me. You were overwhelmed by people. And you always walked through them with grace and drew away to be with your Father when that was needed. But you were at rest long before you were with your Father. You were at rest in the middle of the turmoil. Thank you, God, for your example. Thank you, Jesus, for your example. In the midst of the turmoil, there's rest. Jesus is in the bottom of the boat. You're in the bottom of the boat, Lord, in the midst of the storm. And we can speak to the storm. We can speak to the storm, knowing you're with us. Thank you for giving us that authority. Thank you for giving us that strong tower that's you to draw into. We back into you today. We let the turmoil, we let the battle wage outside of our strong tower in you, and we go to the top of the tower and drop a millstone on the head of the enemy. We bless each person with that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Receive it in your spirit. If you just receive it with your mind, you'll forget it very quickly. Or you'll walk out and forget it. If it's something you receive in your spirit, it can be life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. Don't let it just sit in your mind, in your thoughts. Let it go all the way down to your spirit. That's where the fruit is. Do not be weary in well-doing. And you shall reap if you faint not. The fun is in the reaping. The fun is in the reaping. Whoo! The fun is in the reaping. You want to reap the fruit of people for the kingdom's sake, and you want to reap the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, joy, peace, all those things in Galatians 5, right? You want to reap that kind of fruit. Guess it's the message after the message, I don't know. I do have more notes if someone wants to stay around for 6 hours. I didn't use a lot of them.